Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm sorry, I've written such a somber sermon. I apologize for that in advance, but I've written it and I'm going to give it. But I hope it has a nice turn at the end for you. Everyone in America, including you and I, heard the news on Friday about Kyle Rittenhouse, the 18-year-old man accused of killing Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber and severely wounding a third man, Gage Grosskreutz, during a Black Lives Matter protest late in August. We heard on Friday that he was acquitted of all charges against him. I admit that I have not followed the trial carefully. Looking at the internet, I can see that the case itself hinged on whether or not the young man's actions could be construed as self-defense, and that it is likely that no one will ever know whether the men, who are now dead, really threatened Rittenhouse or not. And I'm not a lawyer, so I will not render a legal opinion on this matter. That's not my job. But I am a minister, and it is my job to consider the ethical concerns at work here. It is my job to wonder about the young man's soul and about the soul of our nation. As fate would have it, yesterday, just one day after the verdict came in, I was scheduled to attend a session sponsored by the Department of Homeland Security that was entitled Emergency Preparedness Seminar for Houses of Worship and Faith Communities. Though it was my sermon writing day and I couldn't really afford the time, I felt that the subject of the seminar was important enough that I simply couldn't miss it. So I drove the hour up to Jaffrey, and when I got to the Hope Fellowship Church up on Prescott Road, Owen Houghton and Allison Bergeron, who had first alerted me of the seminar, were already among those present. I was glad that I had taken the time. The seminar turned out to be very informative and well put together. The final speaker was tasked to present on the preparedness of houses of worship for an active shooter event. He encouraged us on several occasions to imagine a shooter threatening us right there in that space, in that church, the Hope Fellowship Church. Did the doors open in or did they open out? Would one be better off far, on the far side of the room, or up close to the shooter? Should one run or should one hide? How could a person keep from panicking? If you could keep your head, how could you figure out the best thing to do? Each of us in that hall started imagining someone barging into the place with an AR-15. The facilitator said something interesting. He said that if you decide not to run but to act, you can, of course, try to somehow neutralize the shooter through some act of violence. But an equally, if not perhaps more effective action might be to go for the gun. The gun, after all, is the item that is giving the assailant power. If the gun is somehow taken from the shooter just becomes another person who is then as strong or weak as anyone else in the room. The National Rifle Association is fond of saying that guns don't kill people, that people kill people. And I suppose there's some truth to that. It is also true that a person with a gun could be a shooter. A person without a gun is a person. Was Kyle Rittenhouse acting aggressively or in self-defense? We may never know. But there is one thing we know for sure. If Rittenhouse had gone to that protest that day without a gun, Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber would be alive today. When Jesus is brought before Pilate in today's scripture lesson from the Gospel of John, Pilate knows that Jesus is a troublemaker, but he seems unconcerned about that. Pilate's question reveals that he is primarily concerned about two things. Is Jesus a Jew? And is Jesus really a king? Does he have any real power? On both points, Pilate is ultimately satisfied. Jews were a subjugated people, a small vassal nation within the immense Roman Empire. So identifying Jesus as a Jew gave Pilate the confidence to assume complete jurisdiction over him. If Jesus had any real claim to kingship, he might present some difficulty to Pilate, who might have to deal with some civil unrest. But since Jesus admits that my kingdom is not from this world, Pilate is assured that Jesus, guilty or not, has no real power that will threaten him. But Pilate has completely misunderstood Jesus. Pilate can only see a certain kind of power. He is looking for power in the way that we humans are accustomed to thinking about power. Power over. He has determined that he, Pilate, has power over Jesus. That is to say, he, Pilate, can decide whether Jesus lives or dies. And that, of course, is the same power that is in the hand of the active shooter, the power to decide if another person lives or dies. And this is the way that we humans primarily understand power. The person that with the greatest power is the person who has the power to determine whether another person lives or dies. This is what it means to be a human king, to have a kingdom of this world. And I need hardly mention that Nebuchadnezzar and Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot, Pinochet, Idi Amin, Bashar al-Assad. Power is always expressed through a willingness to kill. Our leaders do not have clean hands either. Truman, the son of a farmer from Missouri, dropped 2 atomic bombs on 2 inhabited cities. The more a person is willing to kill, the more power a person has. Jesus, though, is the opposite. His power came from not from being willing to kill, but being willing to die. This is a very different kind of power, a power that is not of this world. I learned something at this session yesterday. I learned that at 9:40 a.m. on April 16th, 2007, a male college student entered Norris Hall on the campus of Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia, carrying two handguns and a knife and 400 rounds of ammunition. He moved through five classrooms and killed 29 people before killing himself. All this I knew, or at least roughly knew. But there was something I didn't know, and that was that it could have been a lot worse. When Professor Liviu Librescu, who was teaching solid mechanics in room 204, realized what was going on, he ordered his students to kick out the windows and leap to safety. While he was doing this, while the students were doing this, Librescu himself held the classroom door closed. The gunman appeared and shot through the door, hitting Librescu four times and wounding him severely. The shooter made it into the room, but not before all of the students, but three, were gone. The shooter killed Librescu and one other student, a graduate student named Minal Panchal. But because of the teacher's extraordinary power, 21 of his students were saved. The shooter expressed power by taking life. This is the kind of power that Pilate would understand. This is the kind of power that we fear. This kind of power controls us by making our spirits shrink within us. If our bodies are not destroyed by this power, our spirits are. This is the limited, the profane, the obscene form of power. Jesus is not tainted by this kind of power. Jesus refused this kind of power. Librescu expressed power by giving himself up for the sake of life. This kind of power that is not of this world. This is a kind of power that we admire, but we find difficult to understand. This is not a power that controls, but a power that gives. Which power is the human power? And which power is the divine power? Think of all the human potential that is contained within the 21 people, young people, that professor saved that day. That's powerful. Can we make the divine power into the kind of power that humans will understand? Can humans obey a kind of power that is not a threat? Can humans obey a kind of power that is based on compassion and ultimate regard for the sacredness of life? Jesus believed we could. Jesus taught us how. And so did Liviu Librescu. Now, I am aware that this Sunday is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and that I'm preaching a very depressing sermon. I'm sorry about that. But we Christians, when we are at our best, we meet each other at the cross, at a place of great pain, and we have our eyes open to that pain. Professor Lubrescu was Jewish, and I don't know if I mentioned this, but he was a Holocaust survivor. And he did the most Christian thing. He met us at the cross. Met at the cross, we are given life. But look, was Jesus born to die? Did Lubrescu have to sacrifice his life? I don't think so. We could have a different kind of world. A world that expresses a different kind of power. The power not to determine whether someone lives or dies, but the power to give life. To gather each other into a world of compassion. We here do not just say this, we do it. We gather in compassion. This is our act of love that works against the kinds of power that destroy body and soul. Amen.